We'll call this meeting of the Senate Special Committee on Energy to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:34 p.m. on March 26, 2015. We're in the Belts Room 105 in the Tom Stewart Building. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum to do business. Co-Chair Bishop, Senator Egan, and myself, Co-Chair Machicki. I'd like to recognize our committed committee staff, Chris Dickrell from Senate Records, LIO staff Sam Greeley, and of course my trusty staff Lynn Smith over here next to us. Please turn off your cell phones. The purpose of our meeting today is to have our second hearing on Senate Bill 50, the Governor's Bill on ADA, Bonds, Programs, Loans, LNG Project, and we do have a committee substitute before us for consideration. Can I welcome Senator Hoffman? Now, please have a motion to adopt a committee substitute.
I move that we adopt a committee substitute for SB 50, version W, as our working document.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. I will object for purposes of discussion. If I could have Lynn Smith please join us. Identify yourself for the record and explain the changes.
Lynn Smith, staff to Senator Machicki. I'll explain the changes. If you have any specific questions, please feel free to ask Senator Machicki. The Senate CS before you, the first change is in Section 2 on page 2, line 17 of the bill, and it just changes the word law to the legislature for approval. The next change is in Section 4. And it's new language in the definition of a qualified energy development. It's on page 4, lines 22 to 25. And it now reads, in the subparagraph, distribution does not include a natural gas pipeline project for transporting natural gas from the North Slope or Cook Inlet to market unless the pipeline has a diameter of 12 inches or less and transports the natural gas to interior Alaska. And the last change is in Section 5, which is on page 5 of your bill, lines 3 through 6, and it now reads, in the state, we'll provide natural gas to interior Alaska as a primary market and natural gas delivery and distribution systems and affiliated infrastructure that will provide natural gas to interior Alaska. And those are the changes to the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Any questions from committee members? Okay, I will remove my objection. That puts the CS before the committee. Any questions from committee members? I want to explain my changes, and primarily, you all know I very much support the project. It's time for the interior to have, as a first step, Senator Hoffman. I always focused on your district as well, but it's important for the interior to have a realistic solution, lower cost energy solution in the future. I am still under the belief that a pipeline is always a better solution. This allows the project to go forward, but it also allows ADA to continue considering a pipeline as a viable option. And I'll tell you what, I've talked about a lot of the reasons. One of the primary reasons for me is whether or not AKLNG goes through. If AKLNG goes through, if this route were the other way, it could assist with a pipeline to Glen Allen, Copper Center, Fort Greeley, Delta Junction, areas that most likely would not be covered by a pipeline from AKLNG. So I guess when I think about whether or not this solution would be a waste in the future, there are still very viable uses for this, for a pipeline route. And again, I want to just make sure that we're not applying a Band-Aid. I want ADA, I'm strongly requesting that ADA process this solution, even if the cost is slightly more, to look at the long-term needs of the region. And I believe it's a better solution. This allows that solution to be considered and continued, but still doesn't get in the way of ADA for moving forward on the project they're looking at right now. Any other comments or questions? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to appreciate the diligence your office put into working with consideration and taking your wisdom and adding this pipeline option in the bill. I, too, think the cheapest gas at the end of the day is moved through a pipeline. With that being said, I think Ada has, in my opinion, all the tools in the toolbox now to bring this project over the top. And thanks for that addition, and it's been a pleasure working with your office. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Yours as well. So with that, we have the sponsors here. We have Gene Terrio, AEA Director, Energy Policy and Outreach. We have Nick Simoniak, and online we have Bob Shevchek and Fred Parody, Acting Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Would you like to make any comments, Mr. Terrio?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gene Terrio with AEA. We appreciate the CS as we continue to check with your staff, and they give us an indication that a CS had been ordered. Lynn told us that we were likely to recognize much of the language or see that it was the same concepts, just sort of redrafted. We know that your legislative drafters have a particular way of stating things, and so the language that we see in here certainly meets our needs and is really acceptable. One of the things that I did want to point out is on page 5 of the language that was adopted. It honors some language that was considered in the other body by a member of the Interior delegation, that as we remove the North Slope, we didn't want to lose focus on the interior as the primary market that would anchor this infrastructure. But we did have a little bit of a concern that by doing so and stating that we were focused on the interior, we didn't want any other geographic area, southeast perhaps, that is Senator Egan's constituency or Senator Hoffman's constituency along coastal Alaska. We didn't want them to feel like the wording would somehow preclude them. And so we were instructed or advised by the Department of Law that by adding in the wording there on page 5, line 4, that the interior is the primary market. By adding those words, it suggests that there could be secondary markets, and those would be those other geographic areas, so they would not feel like they are somehow being precluded from being served. And ultimately, for the benefit of interior customers, because energy delivery is a volume enterprise, if in fact we can add secondary markets so the overall volume goes up, we would expect the per unit price then for everybody to come down. So we believe there would be some additional benefit for interior and the other geographic areas by aggregating as much demand as possible. So with that, we're available to answer questions if you have any. We're thankful for your work on the CS, and Mr. Shevchek has committed to continue to work with NSTAR. He's been in touch with the manufacturers of the FlexSteel pipe. We'll continue to develop that model and report back to you as we continue that work.
Appreciate that very much, Mr. Terrio. Any other questions or comments from Mr. Terrio?
One question.
Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Well, I fully appreciate your comments, but and with that, I'm wondering on line 6, to make your point for the rest of the state more plausible, since we already state in line 4 the interior as a primary market, starting on line 5, an affiliated infrastructure that will provide natural gas to Alaska. Since the interior is already mentioned on line 4, and by saying to Alaska, that would fulfill and strengthening your comments regarding southeast and the rest of Alaska.
Senator, what got us in this place is us being focused on one area, and this bill would have been completed last year. And of course, I tried to make an amendment that would have not caused us to be here this year. This language is better than what we had last year. I think it clarifies that it's a primary market, but the remainder of the state is available. And I hear what you're saying. I personally, I mean, just having a little background in this industry, I don't know that this is the solution for your community, but a solution for your community is certainly possible in this language.
As long as that's on the record.
No. Good job. Good job, Senator. Other comments?
Mr. Chairman, I understand Senator Hoffman's question, and we certainly can commit to work with his office. He, of course, will be on the Senate. He's a member of the Senate Finance Committee, and the bill does go through there. And if there's some way of nuancing the language so that we don't lose sort of the interior demand that we think needs to anchor this infrastructure, but then can give him an increased level of comfort, we certainly will consider that.
Thank you. Okay. With that, let's open public testimony if there are no other comments. Public testimony is now open. We have a number of folks online. Let's begin with Mr. Merrick Pierce from Fairbanks. Mr. Pierce, are you online?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Nice to talk with you today about this legislation. This particular legislation is very important, and I just thought I'd go over a couple observations that might help you with your evaluation of this legislation.
One second, Mr. Pierce. The line is not completely clear. Not sure if we have a way of improving that or not. Can you? Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Pierce. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman. How's that?
It's better. We'll let the sound guys adjust accordingly.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Well, it is one important consideration that we have to pay attention to is what's happened with the air quality in Fairbanks, as Senator Bishop knows very well. There's compelling evidence that the dangerously polluted air that we have in Fairbanks is injuring human beings. There's a recent study that came out in the British Medical Journal that describes in some detail the correlation between the increased hospitalization for stroke with the increasing levels of particulates that people are exposed to. So you have both increased mortality and morbidity with high levels of particulate. In fact, many of you know Dr. Owen Hanley, who's estimating that we see 50 to 100 premature deaths per year as a consequence of what's happened with the Fairbanks air quality. And that's premature deaths over a lifetime. That doesn't mean 50 or 100 people are dying every year, but it does mean that you'd see 50 or 100 people die as a result of the exposure to our air over a lifetime. We did some evaluation of the what essentially has to happen to get the air quality here fixed, and that's in short summary, we have to get rid of about 3,000 to 5,000 wood stoves, go from wood to propane or wood to natural gas. And you're essentially going from something that emits lots of particulates to something that emits almost no particulates because natural gas and propane are so clean burning. And that's what it's going to take. That's what we have to do to fix the air quality. So maybe some specificity in this legislation to address that point might be helpful. And I'd also just remind everybody that Article 7, Section 4 of the Constitution does require that the legislature promote and protect public health. I would add my support for a phased approach for the energy solution for Fairbanks. We've got to restore hope. And, I think propane is a realistic option. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Senator Chickie, I want to personally thank you for the work you've done looking at a small bore pipeline coming from Big Lake or Cook Inlet to Fairbanks. I agree with you, and I hope your colleagues do as well. You have more expertise in LNG and natural gas than anybody in the body, and it's pretty clear that 305,000 miles of gas transmission pipelines have been laid across the United States of America because that is the safest, fastest, cheapest way of moving gas. The one minor suggestion I just got to look at your committee substitute. You might add, after the word pipeline, you might make that plural to pipelines. And the advantage there is in the evaluation of the pipeline. You might decide looping is a smart remedy. Instead of just having a single pipe, you might want to have two pipes in the trench. Of course, the economic considerations for what's happened with our air quality and our cost of energy is huge. I hear folks talking about $15 gas at the meter. My opinion is that's not likely to work. The math is pretty simple. If it's $16 gas at the meter and at $6 to have an amortization per million BTUs, you're now at $21 at the burner tip. Fuel oil right now is about $19. Wood's a lot cheaper. So $15 isn't really a solution. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it fixes our air quality. It's not going to get you adequate conversions. It's not going to get us parity with Anchorage. And it's not going to get industry to come here. And as my friends from Japan tell me, they say you have to have affordable energy to have industry, and you need industry to have jobs. And our community is already in a recession. I think given the state's finances, I think that recession is likely to worsen over the next several years as we lay off employees. And just one last plug for propane, if I may. Propane is a great fix for rural Alaska as well as the rural parts of the Fairbanks North Star borough. It's a very good bridge solution that might work for 2 or 3 years. We can lock in some propane prices, with hedging and long-term contracts. It may allow us not to have to spend $250 million to do a full build-out of the gas grid for the interior gas utility. You may find it's more advantageous to do propane in the more rural parts of the zones and not build those zones and subsequently lower the tariff. But that's not something that IGU has modeled, and that's something I think we need to take a hard look at. And I think on that I'll wrap up. Thank you for all your attention, and a very good piece of legislation. Thank you. And I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pierce. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Pierce? Seeing none, thank you. Next is Pamela Throop from Fairbanks. Pamela.
Hi, thank you for letting me speak, and thank you all for all your hard work. I want to talk about the economy here and what I think is happening to the economy because of the cost of energy in Fairbanks. I rushed over here, so I didn't get to hear your introduction. I've been reading the bill and have an idea. But what I wanted to do today was to let you know from my perspective what I see is happening with the economy. I went to the local system that we use for tracking housing sales, and this is a very accurate, it may be low in numbers actually, because it captures only what the realtors sell. There are some things that are sold without realtors, but this certainly captures probably 80% of the sales inside the Fairbanks North Star Borough area that we're concerned about. In 2008, there were 976 sales that were generated through the MLS and closed. 1/3 of 1% of those sales were foreclosures. Fast forward, and I wanted to do this for every year, but I wanted to get over here so I could testify. So instead, I just did 2014. In 2014, there were 1,085 sales. Granted, a little over 100 more sales. 16% of those sales were foreclosures. And I fear that we're just looking at the beginning of that happening. So if we don't get some immediate, dramatic, long-term relief that's somewhat of a parity to Anchorage, Fairbanks, as we all know, is in deep trouble. And I don't think that by not talking about it and not dealing with it and looking at it straightforward, can we realistically have a solution. We need a solution, and we need it now. We need it quick, and it needs to be in parity with Anchorage if we're going to have any hope of attracting businesses here. Our university, state offices, and businesses are locating to Anchorage constantly. They're moving from here to Anchorage. So we can't, not only can we not attract new businesses, we're losing a lot of what we already have. And I'm very, very concerned about it. I'm about to my retirement age, so it's not going to affect me nearly as much as it's going to affect my kids and my grandkids. And the only reason I'm sitting here is for the young people in this community. Otherwise, I'd just go home. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Throop. Any questions for Ms. Throop? Thanks for your call. The next up is Mayor Hopkins, Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Yes, thank you. This is Mayor Luke Hopkins, Fairbanks North Star Borough. To the co-chairs and members of the committee, thank you for having this bill move and coming forward with a committee substitute. as quickly as you are able to. Sorry, it wasn't last year, Senator. The committee substitute, of course, adds flexibility for ADA, and that's the important piece right now. We all know the story of, moving parts around to try to find the lowest or the most economical project that can bring low-cost energy to our community. You, of course, heard some of the details about the air quality condition situation in our community, and then you heard about the stress on our economy, and we all know that the cost of energy in Alaska, in our interior area, of course, is certainly hampering our economy, and this project all along, the Interior Energy Project from SB 23, certainly set out to find that solution for our economy. And so I certainly hope that you're able to pass this committee substitute forward and move it along so that the work that ADA is doing, the due diligence that I'm sure, and I know the work that Bob Shefchek does and Gene Terrio has been doing and the ADA team, it's been pretty thorough, and bright lights are shined on those factors of what project will work best. I appreciate the concern that Senator Hoffman had, and I was just wondering on line six, secondary markets could be added there, that possibility for consideration, but as the co-chair said, they're trying to package this up so that it, matches what can be solved and solved soon. So I just want to reiterate that still looking at gas solution to our community from whatever pencils out to be best, and we'll certainly have an opportunity to review and slice apart what ADA brings forward as what we hope is the best solution. We can look at that then, but allowing this language certainly allows the flexibility. So can't wait for this bill to pass. Therefore, I can't wait for natural gas coming to Fairbanks and then the secondary markets, as we certainly know, exist, and they have the need. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions. Thank you for this opportunity. It is important to us.
Thank you, Mayor Hopkins, for your testimony. Any questions for Mayor Hopkins? Thank you, sir. Next online is David Prues from Fairbanks, Fairbanks City Council. Mr. Prues? Okay, we'll keep an eye on the line, see if we get him back. That brings us to Lisa Herbert, Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. Lisa, if you can please identify yourself for the record and testify.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Lisa Herbert, and I'm the Executive Director of the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, and I want to thank the committee for the opportunity to comment on behalf of the business community in Fairbanks. As you know, we're the premier advocacy organization in the interior, and each year our mission is made a little bit more difficult to advocate on behalf of business without affordable energy. Our Chamber's Board of Directors voted unanimously to support House Bill 105 and Senate Bill 50. And it's our understanding that this legislation provides the necessary flexibility to ADA to advance a natural gas energy project that will address the high cost of energy that we've been facing for a long time now. And as Senator Bishop said earlier, it's essentially another tool in the toolbox for ADA to meet the stated goals of bringing affordable natural gas to the greatest number of interior residents and businesses as quickly as possible. So reducing the high cost of energy has been our number one priority. And while we hear the press releases from interior gas utility regarding pipe arriving in Fairbanks, and we hear the update from Southern Patrick Grass that they'll continue to lay pipe in the ground this summer. It's kind of hard to get excited about it when we still don't have a gas supply. So, I want to thank the great work that the administration has done, the legislature, and ADA, and all those that have worked really tirelessly on bringing affordable gas to our community. But it's really important that we keep that forward progress moving, and I want to thank you for your hard work, and appreciate the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much, Ms. Herbert. Questions for Ms. Herbert? Thank you. I understand Mr. Prues is back. Mr. Prues, are you there?
Yes, I am. This is David Prues, City Council member testifying on behalf of the City of Fairbanks. The City of Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough welcomes this Senate Bill 50 as a way to get affordable energy to the city of Fairbanks and the interior. And we look at this, as Senator Bishop said, as a wonderful way for Ada to have all the tools available in its toolbox to finally complete this task. I believe we've all been working on this now diligently for 4 years, if not more, and you have the right people at the right place at the right time to actually get this done. So I appreciate all the work that, Senators, that you've done on this committee and hopefully advancing this bill with the Senate substitute and hopefully getting to work and getting affordable energy to Fairbanks. You've been hearing many individual discussions about this, many individual testimony about how energy is in Fairbanks and what it means to us. And this is it. This is the Senate bill that makes it work. So I ask you all to advance this. The City of Fairbanks has sent you a resolution that passed 6-0 in favor of you supporting this bill, as has the Fairbanks North Star Borough with a vote of 8-0. There is not one elected official who is not in favor of this. And I thank you again for advancing this bill, hopefully.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pruse. Questions for Mr. Pruse? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
The last person I have online is Jomo Stewart from Fairbanks.
Okay. Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, just fine. If you can please identify yourself and your affiliation and provide your testimony.
Very good. Thank you, sir. My name is Jomo Stewart, and I'm the Energy Project Manager for the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, and we just wanted to go on record in favor of SB 50 and hoping that you will move it as expeditiously as possible through the process. A number of folks have spoken about the need for the legislation, at least regarding our own community here in the interior. But I would want to remind the committee regarding some of the historical background of the LNG trucking and the interior energy project generally. You know, when we started this, certainly here within the community, it wasn't lost on us that we weren't the only community suffering from the high cost of energy, especially through our tie to oil for our space heating needs. And that essentially 50% of the state's population was in the same boat that we were. So when the community moved forward on the interior energy project, you know, we tried to do it and create a system that would be a replicable model for other communities around the state, like Juneau or the communities within Senator Hoffman's district, Sitka, other communities, again, similarly challenged. And so we shot for replicable models. Through that process, we ended up creating a utility, municipal utility, that helped move the gas around town. Regarding the funding mechanism, we shot for a replicable model, and that was a low grant component, high loan system that would replenish essentially a revolving loan fund that would make funds available in the future for other communities when gas became available to them. Ada, through its work, they did a lot of really great work on the North Slope. We have a pretty good idea of what it would cost to build a small-scale LNG facility to finally unlock gas off of the North Slope. We found that the price was a little too high to meet our own community-specified goals of $10 city gate and $15 to the home or business, but close. And we, again, that's some really good work, and it's good that we have that in our haversack. Now they'd like the latitude to check out the Cook Inlet and other energy sources that might get us to the goal of $10 per MCF at City Gate and $15 to the home, and we believe that that latitude is appropriate. So thank you very much. We hope that you will, again, move this bill as quickly as possible through the legislative process. We do not have a lot of time left, but good work has been done, and it's good work that won't just benefit our own community, but if done right, can serve as a model that can serve other communities as well. We hope you'll agree.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Do we have anyone else online or, pardon? Okay, just for questions. Thank you. Any comments by the committee? Senator Hoffman.
I think this is a very good project to get the gas to Fairbanks. The Yukon isn't very far away, and go down the Yukon to the Kuskokwim, pretty soon you're at Bethel.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to Senator Hoffman. Because of legislation last year, Southeast is going to benefit as well.
Thank you, Senator Egan. Senator Bishop, you want to throw anything in there before we?
No.
Because I'm going to give a little bit of a All right. I just have something to say, and I'll say it. We let politics get in the way, and we wasted 2 years on getting gas to Fairbanks. And I hope we're out of that. I hope we're out of that little cycle. We need to look at conversion rates. We've talked about air quality. I'd like to increase the levels of cargo on the railroad with lower cost refinery fuels. I mean, we need to look at the whole gamut. We've got a little bit of a hiatus here on high energy costs just because of the price of oil. And I really ask Ada, I know they will, I ask you to use that time wisely. Let's find the best solution for everyone along the route, and something that will be remain in service after AKLNG is in service someday. So I'll certainly do anything I can to help the group. I very much believe in what you're doing. And if there are no other comments, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move we pass CS for SB 50 version 29/GS1019W from committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying zero fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, Senate Bill CS for Senate Bill 50 is passed from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note from the DEC, Community and Economic Development. It now goes to the Resources Committee. And with that, if you can stick around for a little bit and sign the document, I will go ahead and adjourn us at 4:07 p.m.